Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday morning, February the 4th, 2026. 2-4-26, even numbers there. 18 and a half minutes past the hour, and I guess the big headline here in Marion this morning, and really even around Central Ohio to some degree on all the television stations, after nearly 2 years, indictments, civil suits, city council term, the verdict came in yesterday. Ayers Ratliff, not guilty on all charges. Not guilty on all charges. Now, this started with a rape allegation, May of 2024, and we certainly have been down the road on this one. Sitting councilman at the time, accused of this with a minor, county prosecutor, Ray Grogan, elected official, does what he does, and yesterday this part of it all culminated with Ayers Ratliff not guilty on all charges. Now, the question I have, what does this mean? What does this mean to the community? What does it mean to the faith in the prosecutor's office? What does it mean to all of these people's lives? Because the thing that I have kept saying through all of this is Ayers, Heidi, their whole family, Ray Grogan, his office, is anybody's life ever going to be the same again? That's the big question here. Is anybody's life ever going to be the same again? Go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
Oh, yes.
Love Marion County Prosecutor Ray Grogan. You know, Adam missed him in the obituary report. I heard after the verdict was read that he stroked out.
Well, no, I haven't heard that. You know, I haven't heard anything from him in the last 24 hours. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there.
I was surprised to find out that they're trying Heidi separately. I thought they were both on trial and did everything, all of this, so we've got another trial to look forward to, I guess.
Well, that's an interesting point. Yeah, I do think people think Heidi was on trial. She was not. This was just Ayers, but obviously this was the center of the case. This is where the rape allegation was. This was the sitting councilman. This is why it was news in Columbus, Ohio. So to be not guilty on all charges, I mean, you have to wonder, what message does this send?
Well, you see, Grogan, he had a wish sandwich. He just had two pieces of bread, and he was wishing for some meat.
Well, but here's what I keep wondering. Okay, Grogan, the day after Ayers was arrested, sent that video out in which he was so sure, it seemed, to the media he sent that video, that he was so sure that this was going to be
a slam dunk?
Well, he didn't say slam dunk, but essentially, yes, slam dunk. And what was he looking at? Because 2 years later, you would think you would not want to risk your career, risk a civil lawsuit. I don't quite understand what he was doing now with the evidence that was provided, because in the back of my mind, I kept thinking, he's got to have something. Why would you risk your career? Why would you risk all this media attention that will be negative by doing this? Why would you put the county's insurance policies in jeopardy and the people's careers in your office? You got to have something. And well, it's beyond me.
Yeah, see, that's why I think it's well known in certain circles that they love to have Ray at the poker table because he's the loser.
Yeah, but, I mean, have you come to some kind of conclusion? He had his chance to present his evidence. What did he have? Because the truth is, I mean, listen, when the accusation came, Ray did not make the accusation. We've got to be fair here. Ray did not make the rape allegation. So, you know, he did have to follow through with that. And the fact that it was a sitting council person, it was going to be news. There was no doubt about that. But why he sort of injected his opinion and why he sent that video and the quotes that he did throughout the trial to media outlets, that I'll never understand. Because if he would have just come out in the beginning and said, listen, a sitting council person has been accused of this, my office is, to the best of our ability, going to try this case. We are going to look for the truth. And in the end, the truth will prevail in a court of law. He would not have opened himself up to slander. He would not have opened himself up to civil lawsuits. He would not have opened the county up to civil lawsuits. I don't quite understand why this was handled this way.
Well, it's his ego. It's his ego and trying to flex what muscle he has. You know, it's like when you get arrested by a cop, you keep your mouth shut. The only things you should be talking about that have any substance, that should be spoken in a court of law, not open public, period. And he obviously had nothing. Otherwise, and well, from what I understand from some people who were in attendance, he kind of alienated the jury. I don't think the jury liked it when he showed those graphic, let's just call them gynecological images in his case versus a diagram or something of that nature.
You know, the thing about it is, I've known Ray Grogan for more than a decade now. And up until 2024, he was a regular guest on the program, in studio and on the phone. When I would see him in public, it was always a cordial meeting. I just don't know what happened here. I just don't understand.
Were those times when he was running for office?
No, he would come on when he wasn't running for office. No. Usually when I would ask him to come on, he would come on. I that's what I say. I don't understand what in the world happened here. And I know he's got another trial here with Heidi, but boy, I wish he would say something. Because I really don't understand this. I truly don't.
He's gotten caught with his hand in the cookie jar. He's not going to say a thing. It would incriminate him, just like probably Bill and Hillary, when they go to testify, they're going to take the fifth.
Well, listen, I wouldn't expect him to say anything to incriminate him, but my goodness, I don't, does he have any explanation why he did this?
Well, it would be interesting to find out. One would think an individual, a reasonably minded individual, would have weighed what evidence there was and said, it's iffy.
Well, yes.
That's why they go to the grand jury. The grand jury is always called, I believe it's called the prosecutor's jury. Nine times out of ten, the people on the grand jury think, well, they must have done something wrong, so we're going to find that, move it to trial, we're going to indict them.
Right, but what I'm saying is, you know, whether you like or dislike him, the prosecutor, Ray Grogan, he had to have some reason he did this. And if it is an incriminating reason, then we should know it. But I don't know that it is. I don't know what pressures he had.
Well,
I don't know.
His caveat is, in my opinion, we had all of the evidence. He's going to stick to it.
Okay, well, let's hear that. Let's hear it. Because everything else is just conjecture until he says it. But his career right now is swinging in the wind. And
not necessarily conjecture. If you have a transcript of the court proceedings,
well, you can say what you can repeat what he said in court. But I'm saying the question is, why, when this all started, did you release that media video, and why were you so sure, as early as the day after, that this was going to go your way? I don't think that was answered in court.
Well, I don't know if that would have been even a question.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's all conjecture until he says something. And now after the not guilty on all counts,
he thought he had something. He had,
but that's conjecture. We don't know.
He had premature jubilation. Well, why wouldn't he? If he didn't think he had anything, why would he take it to trial? Why
that's
would
a
he
good
take it before the grand jury?
And until he says,
he had to have thought that he had something. Maybe not quite sure, but he took it before the grand jury, and the grand jury validated his thoughts, his belief that he had something.
Yeah, but before the grand jury, he was already making these statements. That's my point.
Well,
I don't understand it.
Premature jubilation.
Well, maybe we'll hear from him at some point along the way.
Well, it would be interesting to hear, to give a disclosure. But I'm sure he won't do anything until after the trial for Heidi.
Well, maybe. It hasn't worked well for him so far, not saying anything.
Well, I seriously doubt that it could do anything in his favor. He's dug a hole, and it appears like he's going to try to dig straight through to the core. You know.
Well, we'll see.
We will see, but it's a good news for Ayers Jr., and hopefully it's an indication of the outcome with Heidi's trial, too. So, good job on behalf of Rocky Ratliff, Ayers, and all the support people for it, because now that cloud of doubt is removed. He's not a fiend, and he's a good, upstanding citizen in Marion.
Well, but is it ever removed? That's the problem. You know, when we posted this last night.
You know, his detractors, it will never be removed from his detractors.
And that's
why. They will always think of him that way.
Right, and that's why when you make an allegation like this and it goes to court, there are always going to be people. That's why I said nobody gets out of this alive no matter what the verdict is. Because it's there forever. It's there forever.
Hopefully, Ayers and Heidi, when it's all said and done, will have the wherewithal to move and start life all over again.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Do a better tomorrow.
All right. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 31 and a half minutes past the hour here. WGH Radio Talk Time. Certainly would be the big story this morning. You know, it's come to culmination here. We now know the verdict, and not guilty on all charges is where we are. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
You know what? Today is a good day. I'm claiming today is a good day.
Now, were you there yesterday when the verdict was read?
I was there every minute of the trial.
Okay,
yes, I was there when the verdict was read.
Take us through the moment when the verdict was read. What happened in the courtroom?
About 1:30, closing arguments ended. The jurors are given instructions, and they're actually given, the instructions are written for them also. They're handed to each, given a copy to each juror. They give them all their instructions. They tell them what evidence they're supposed to look for. They tell them the element of every crime, and they have to go through each crime and check off, did it meet this element? So, you know, did they use force? Did they threaten? I mean, they go through all the definitions and everything. So about 1:30, they got turned loose. We were told that they were going to go eat lunch. They were to elect a four-person, and then they would start deliberating. And, of course, this is the actual first jury trial I've been through that affected someone I know's life. But everybody's wondering, oh, God, how long does that mean? Is there a time that they're done deliberating? Does the courthouse close down? You know, what's going to happen? And they said, typically, that judge allows people to deliberate for the day until they're like, no, we're not going to accomplish anything else today. Now, he won't let them go well into the night, but he'll let them deliberate. So basically, the courthouse isn't closing at 5:30. Courthouse is completely empty. It's about 5 o'clock or so. We're all sitting there waiting. Oh, nope. One of our friends kept saying, it's coming in at 4:30. The verdict's going to come in at 4:30. She's an older lady. We're all just kind of sitting around, and the whole fourth floor was, I think there's probably 15 people or so left by the time the verdict came in. But 4:30, the woman kept saying, the verdict's coming in at 4:30. And somebody looked over at 4:30. She's like, well, maybe my watch is a little off. And she got up at about 4:40 to go to the bathroom, and they came and told us, well, Rocky told Ayers first that got one. And Ayers came and told everybody that there was a verdict. I mean, we're sitting in the floor. We're sitting in chairs. There's a room. We're all just kind of talking and sharing life experiences. And
So what is Ayers' mood at this point?
Ayers was pacing. He was sitting in a room with his family, and, you know, some of us came in and went out and talked, and everybody's trying to not talk about what was going on inside the room, but every now and then, what do you think they're talking about? But then we would try to go back to springtime, warm, grandkids, school, whatever else we could think of, because his wife and daughter were with him there when the verdict was read. They were there for closing arguments. And when they told Ayers was actually out talking to me, I was sitting in the floor, and Rocky came up and told him and took him out to the side and told him, because it's a weird layout, you just have to be there to understand, but I didn't see his face when he was told. But he came back up and said, they've got one. And everybody, the room just kind of went silent because everybody understood the gravity of the moment. I mean, your friends on the other side of that room is whether or not your friend's going to prison for a long time, you know, on the other side of that door. And he hugged his wife and he hugged his daughter and told them both, no matter what happens, I want you to know that I love you both and that we'll get through this. And then we all stood by the door and waited, and they let us back into the courtroom. And we had to wait for Ray Grogan to get back. And the jury came in. I mean, everybody's holding hands, and we're all kind of crying and sniffing, and no one knows what's going to happen. And the jury sits down. They gave the judge the papers. It's not like in TV. AJ gave the judge the papers, and the judge read the verdict. And there's 5 different counts, so there's 5 different pieces of paper. The first one he read, he started, and he just does it the form language. The first one was for the rape, and we all heard not guilty. And, I mean, there was just a collective sigh of relief in the room, and I don't even think anybody else heard the rest of what he said because everybody was just crying, and then it was not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty.
What is Ayers' response as that's read, not guilty for the rape charge?
I believe he just kind of nodded his head, and from what I saw from I was behind, dropped his head, shaking it, like, I'm sure it was tears, but his body was shuddering, so I'm sure it was crying. I mean, the whole room just, I think even my husband teared up, just the gravity of the moment, and then it was like a 1,000-pound weight left the room when they said not guilty, and then I knew if they said not guilty on rape, then it was not guilty on the rest of them. And when not guilty came down on the rape, it was just like they came down one after another, and it was beautiful.
So what did you happen to see Ray Grogan's response when this was going on?
Ray's head also dropped. It didn't seem to be from tears of joy. And, I mean, all the rest of us at the end, of course, were exuberant. I mean, everybody's hugging everybody. It didn't matter who you were. You're grabbing somebody and hugging them. And Ray Grogan slipped out real quietly during that period and just kind of slunk away.
So it was just head down, no emotion, and left.
No fanfare. Keep your eyes to the ground and keep moving.
Now, when Ayers
in a room full of hostiles, and if you think about it, not that any of us were going to do anything to him, but there was not one fan of Ray Grogan in that room unless they were being paid by the county to be there.
Well, did he have a group of people there? Were there people with him?
No, when it came back, when the verdict came back, it was him and the new, his name is Graceffo. He's the new assistant, second, lead assistant prosecutor, first assistant prosecutor. So he's the number two. He's first below Ray and I'm sorry, their investigator. One of the plainclothes police officers yesterday. I think that's something that everybody needs to know. Yesterday, before closing, okay, there's been a committed group of people that have gone to this based on their schedule. There's been about 18 to 20 of us every day. We all kind of have our own little spots, and we've all kind of formed our own little, I don't know, support group for each other and for the family. Yesterday, we get there. You know, last day, we've got the last day jitters, but we're feeling good. If the damn, every damn police officer from Marion City didn't show up in plain clothes to pack that courtroom, it was disgusting. There were majors, there were lieutenants, there were Marmot detectives. Filled the room to the point the judge said, I don't like people standing in my courtroom, find a place to sit. Why did 20 police officers show up for closing arguments yesterday? To try to prove who runs that room. And you know what, buddies? I hope you're listening. The justice won yesterday, not you. The truth won.
So now, we did learn throughout the course of this trial that Jason Schauber did testify, former city councilman.
It's very moving.
Well, and we'll get to that, but was he in the courtroom yesterday when the verdict was read?
Schauber was not there. Most of the people that testified did not show back up because they didn't know if they were going to be recalled, and that's because of Ray's dirty games, but that's a whole other story, too.
So I guess Ayers not guilty on all charges. What's his response when he walks back to the group?
Yeah, well, Heidi, and he grabs his daughter and, his wife and his daughter first. And then he thanked every single person personally, hugged everyone and thanked everyone. And I hugged him yesterday and I said, oh my God, you beat him. You beat him. And he said, now it's on to Toledo. That's the federal court case, if anybody was wondering, the federal lawsuit.
So the civil lawsuit, pending. Right?
Yes, the civil lawsuit is still pending. So it's picking back up where it started. I don't know any of the filings or anything. I didn't get any of the technicalities. Yesterday was just for happiness, but I'd imagine today might start his revenge tour.
Well, you know what? I spoke with him, not on the phone, but we did have an exchange of messages last
good.
Night, and I hope he does come on soon, because I think we would all like to hear this now, and there would be no damage done in it at this point. And I think that I just hope he does, because I think this is a fascinating story, two-year drama.
It's a fascinating story if it wasn't happening here.
Well, that's what I'm saying, and to hear it from the person who it was happening to, I think gives it a lot more gravity. I mean, we can talk about it, read, and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So I hope he does come here and tells his story, you know, in the very, very, very near future. But, so you were there every day. Mm-hmm. What things stick out to you?
What things stick out to me? Okay. Ray Grogan presented less than 2 days worth of testimony, and that includes Rocky, and there was another attorney, his name is Adam Banks. He used to work at the Ratliff Law Firm. My understanding is he works closer to Columbus now, he moved away, but he also helped, so I don't want to just keep saying Rocky, because Adam did a very good job too. So Ray did less than 2 days worth of trial. There was absolutely no DNA presented whatsoever in this case. None. So at no point in time does the alleged victim and Ayers' DNA was it presented to the court. And so Ray Grogan's whole case was to fight Ayers' defense. Every single expert that Ayers called, Ray thought whether or not that person was an expert and should be allowed to testify as an expert. They had their nurse here that performed an exam at the Marion General ER. And to refute that nurse's techniques and her skills and her report taking, they brought in a doctor. Man had been a doctor for 50 years. He had worked for multiple county health departments. He was a county coroner for about 30 years. He had worked in emergency room departments. He had delivered 200 babies. He had done gynecological surgeries like hysterectomies and tubal ligations and other things. The SANE program, that's Sexual Assault Nurse Examiner. We call them forensic nurses now. But he actually helped establish the program in Northwestern Ohio. He kept giving the credit to his nurse. That's how humble of a man he was. He kept giving credit to his nurse, a nurse saying that she wanted to start the program and they needed a physician to oversee it because nurses have to report to doctors. So he was just the doctor in charge, but she was the nurse that really did everything. Very humble man, very smart, very nice. The FBI actually consulted with him on some cases in Northwestern and Northeastern Ohio. So this guy, Ray, tried to say that he was not a professional, that he was not an expert. The man has testified, he has published works in medical publications, you know, newspapers, journals, those sort of things. He's a published author. The FBI consults with him. He's delivered hundreds of babies, but he's not a professional to speak on female anatomy because he's not a gynecologist. Well, but the nurse who works at the emergency room who had 64 hours of training, she's an expert. How does that make sense?
Well, and see, this is I think, the conversation we had with the first caller this morning. Why, I mean, can anybody fathom why Ray Grogan, the day after the allegation was made? Listen, when the allegation was made that a rape had occurred, you have to do something.
He didn't even have all the evidence that he had at trial. This is the day of the rape, though. Let's put that timeline together. Ayers gets arrested before they have ever gotten one search warrant for his house or performed one exam on the alleged victim. Ayers is already sitting in jail. There is zero evidence other than an allegation.
Right, so
that's not how that works.
No, but that's what I'm saying. If you've got a sitting city council member, and you know that this is going to be bigger news because of that, you would think you would want to handle it extra gingerly. That's what is so baffling about this to me.
They had BCI standing on his front door while they were waiting for Teresa Ballinger to sign the warrant. BCI was already here, and the guy had to come from somewhere between Bowling Green and Marion is where he lived because he worked out of Bowling Green. But he had to drive there to Marion. And they didn't even have warrants yet. They had already called BCI to come investigate.
But what was the evidence?
What was the evidence?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is what Ray Grogan said happened. There was a 6-minute window between 8:26 p.m. and 8:32 p.m. on May 19th. It was a Sunday night. The 6-minute window where Ayers' phone and the alleged victim's phone were not doing anything. They were locked. So during that 6-minute window, right before that, Ayers had, there was an email that he had clicked on for 6 seconds and then deleted it that said seductively see through. And we're all assuming it was some sort of lingerie or pornographic, whatever, 6 seconds and he deleted it. But what Grogan's theory was, in that 6 seconds that Ayers saw that email, he decided, I need to go rape my daughter. So he got up from where he was in the house, went up the steps, went into the bedroom, threw the victim down, ripped off his own clothes, ripped off her own clothes, raped her. He got dressed. She got dressed. He went back downstairs, got right back on his phone, and she picked up her phone and got right back on her phone.
So because this was a provocative email?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, a provocative email sent him into such a lustful rage that he needed to immediately go upstairs and rape his 13-year-old daughter.
Okay, so what is the justification given? We obviously the victim is his daughter, as you say. That mm-hmm. has been, you know, that's...
I tried not to say it, but it's not like people don't
okay.
know. And it's,
so,
telling the story, it's just... easier to say.
Right. So, at this point, what is the reason given for why she went to the school counselor? I mean, what, in the beginning?
She did not go to a school counselor.
Okay, what happened?
Okay. There was a video. It was a lewd video. I'm not going to get into too much of it, but the daughter helped orchestrate someone else making, a teenage boy making a video of himself doing things to himself. Is that clear enough?
Okay, got it.
Okay. She got that video from that boy. She airdropped it to people at school. And for people that don't know what airdrop means, I'm not exactly sure what it means. I think it's like you make something available on your iPhone and somebody else that has an iPhone can, like, see it. Like, if I wanted to have a little theme song, I could airdrop it on my iPhone and anybody else that had an iPhone would be able to see that my theme song was Highway to Hell or whatever. You know, I don't, it's more what kid stuff, I guess. I don't get it, but I could make it to where if you had an iPhone and I wanted you to, I wanted anyone see this boy in this video doing this, I would just put it on AirDrop and people would be able to, like, grab it from the cloud, I guess is how it works. That happened. And she was losing her friends. And people were getting mad at her, including her own family members, her cousin family members, not the adults. Her own same-age family members are getting mad at her, and she's losing her friends. And the video was, she lost her phone because of this. I mean, just a lot of things, tumultuous things to a teenager were going on, and she ended up pointing the finger at one of her other friends specifically about the video and pretty much lost all of her friends when she did that. And it was within days that the allegation was made.
So just bad timing?
Bad timing. It sounded like she had some issues that family members were pointing out that she needed to see some counseling. She was bullying. I mean, I think that was, I don't know if that was said. Colleen Marshall did a short piece on it last night. She was being bullied. She was bullying. She was being bullied to the point that they were escorting her from the school to the car. But she had bullied somebody on the internet to that point or something. I mean, there was a lot of social things going on in her life at that point. And there were things that I know that weren't allowed to be in evidence in court that, because Ray Grogan fought them. He fought, tried to say her therapist wasn't allowed to come in there and say what she had said because it was hearsay. But anyway, you can't get, there was a lot going on. And this, she was losing all of her friends. And she made this allegation as an attempt to get sympathy.
So just to get this straight, the alleged rape was supposed to have happened on Sunday, and
May
then
19th.
She went to the counselor because of all this other stuff on Monday.
She sent someone a text, and someone else went to the school on Monday, to the officials at school on Monday. She
okay.
never at once approached an adult to tell them this.
So this was just incredibly bad timing is what it sounds like.
Well, Ayers, the very last thing, because he did testify on his own behalf on Friday, and the last question that was asked of him was, isn't it true, like, you know, something to the effect, wasn't it really your daughter that brought you here today? And he said, there's no doubt that my daughter lit the match that brought us here today, but they couldn't wait to pour gasoline on the fire. And he looked right at Ray Grogan's table.
So here's the thing.
Four county prosecutors, Scott, and an investigator through the whole case. So there's five people sitting at that table. And when Ayers testified and they were supposed to cross-examine him, there were six county prosecutors in that room and an investigator. Seven people couldn't come up with one question for him.
Well, and I guess that is the mystery of this whole thing is, if you had any kind of evidence, if you had any thought that the person was guilty, what was it? I mean, I guess that, because you know this is going to be a high-profile thing, I assume that's why things were handled as they were, why in the world would you handle it so poorly in the media and civilly, where you open yourself up for a civil lawsuit?
I really do think that on May 20th or whatever day it was, 21st, whatever day he released that back then, I really do think that he thought he had a slam dunk. Oh, we've got a rape victim and a ratless and a, we're, you know, this is going to make my career.
But based on what?
Based on, at that point, all he had was an allegation.
That's what I'm saying. I you know, as I said, I've
it
known
never
this
got
man.
Any better for him from there. Let's put it there. That was his best day. His strongest evidence was the day that she alleged it happened, because as time went on, it just got worse and worse and worse for him.
I did not see the Colleen Marshall story last night. Well, who was involved with that last night?
It was a very short blurb. It was at 11 o'clock. It was Ayers, Rocky, and Colleen.
Oh, good. So he was able to be on with her last night.
Yes. There was a short thing on the internet. I don't know. I came home and kind of just filled out for processed. It was a short thing on the internet a few hours after the fact, and then I was told it was going to be on the 11 o'clock news.
Oh, very nice. Well, so I was out there last night, and he was able to give some kind of reaction to what had happened.
Yes, he did give a short statement, but I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even know what it was at this point. So it feels like so much has happened, and it was a kind of a little fantasy dream world last night when he came home. Sitting and listening, obviously I was biased towards Ayers and against Ray, but I did try to take myself out of my own bias and look at things at the end of the night when I would go home and analyze, okay, but this is said, and if I were a juror that didn't know either of these people, what would I think that meant? And would that leave me with more questions than answers? And every night I was coming up with more questions than I was answers.
Mm.
So I believed from listening through the whole case all along, because, I mean, I listened to Ray's case, and I wasn't terrible. If I was a juror, I'm thinking, okay, I watched the jury a lot just to see their reactions. And when Ray said he rested, they all kind of looked like, what? That's it? Because a lot of his case felt like, okay, he's leading up to a point. They're building up to their point. They're going to get to the point. What? You rested? You don't have any more questions for that person? You didn't make any points. I don't know what you were trying to accomplish with them. So, I know what that person, and because knowing, you know, a little bit of behind-the-scenes stuff, I know what that person was sent up there to establish. What portion, what element, I know what they were supposed to try to do. And I'm like, they didn't do what they were supposed to do. So, but Ray's strategy, every single witness, every single piece of evidence, it was not, oh, I've got this slam dunk evidence that's going to convict Ayers Ratliff. It was, I'm going to fight every piece of evidence that exonerates him from getting in front of that jury. And that's what Ray Grogan did. That was his strategy, was to fight. That trial could have been done last week. The jury sat outside of the court so long. There were so many motions that were heard in front of the judge. There were filings. They did a filing in the middle of the trial to exclude the doctor as a expert. I already told you that. And then Ray is getting up there, and he's like, he's the best medical mind from 1970, trying to paint him off as this big misogynist and stuff, and they tried to do these. They were more worried about, like, flashy PowerPoints and drawing stuff on boards and that sort of thing than actual substance. It's like they were trying to wow them with presentation, and maybe they won't notice that we haven't given them any facts whatsoever. Right. Rocky's closing was a couple pieces of paper. And actually, thanks to the cops that showed up and tried to intimidate everyone, we were forced to sit closer to the front of the courtroom. So I got to actually watch all of it. All Rocky did was walk around with a couple pieces of paper in his hand and ask questions like, where's this? They didn't do that. Why are all these cops here? Why do we have five prosecutors if this isn't some kind of hit job on one person?
Well, and that,
it was very convincing.
That brings up a point here. We only have 3 minutes left in this hour. But from the beginning, Ayers and I believe Rocky have said that this was political retribution. What does that mean? Did that come out in the trial?
I'll tell you what, 20-plus cops and 7 or 6 prosecutors and an investigator sitting in there would leave you to believe, for one single lowly rapist, would lead you to believe there's some kind of political retribution there, because how many of them show up in full force like that for Joe Blow, the rapist?
Right, but I'm saying, so what did Ayers do?
Well, they listed it off, how he pissed everybody off. They listed Democrats and Republicans, and Schauber testified to that. They went down current police chief, prior police chief, sheriff, the sheriffs, the county commissioners, and they named them all. They named everybody that Ayers has made mad over the years.
But the accusation had to come to give somebody ammunition for political retribution. So what was Grogan's reason for political retribution?
Oh, Ayers actually said, we've got a real problem with the good old boys club in this town, where you do me favors and giving their friends jobs and solidarity. And Ayers set that up in his own testimony. And then they all show up on yesterday looking, just showing up like good old boys do.
Well, you know, I don't know.
They might want to rethink that dynamic the next time they call that one up.
Well, what I would say is I don't know who's listening this morning. I don't know who's out there, but if I understand Ayers is obviously busy today, maybe relaxing a few moments. Hopefully he does come in for an interview and we can get into some of this in depth. But if he is out there listening and just wanted to call in for a few minutes next hour just to give us a reaction to the verdict, you know. That would be nice. Yeah. So, you know, and I also should say we have reached out to Ray Grogan, and the door is open to him as well to call in this morning.
Hey, Ray is trying to figure out how to leave the country without anybody noticing right now. Mark Weaver, he was one of the prosecutors. He's actually left during the trial to go on vacation. I bet he's got a newspaper going through the want ads right now, just going to stay where he is. So, he's on that lawsuit, too.
So do you think that Ray will resign?
Oh, hell no.
So he's not going anywhere.
He'll pry that job out of his cold, dead fingers.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to take a break, come back, talk more about this, and maybe we'll hear from somebody. You never know on the line. We do want to make clear we have reached out to Ayers and we have reached out to Ray, so who knows what will happen next hour.
Hey, Ray will get to you in 90 days.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Bye.
We'll be back.
Is it how much of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray?